We're especially excited to have Kimberly Pimble with us today to bring us the message. We met Kim during a Mountaintop Chrysalis weekend a few years ago. And since that weekend, she has been coming to our youth group here whenever she can. Now, I can tell you that she is a wonderful young woman who has an awesome and crazy sense of humor and a deep love for the Lord. Her father, Dave Pimble, went on the last walk to Emmaus weekend and now attends our men's group. So we're very thankful to have them with us here this morning.
Good morning, boys and girls. Look, what's missing here? I only have one roller skate. Have you ever tried to skate with one roller skate? It's pretty difficult, and it's not very fun. I really need a second roller skate to have a good time, don't I? I'm missing my roller skate partner. When you want to play, there are some fun things you can do by yourself, but there are many things you need a friend or a partner to do with you. What are some things you need a partner to do to have fun?
Hide and go seek.
Yeah, hide and go seek, definitely. All right. All right, now let me tell you a story about a boy your age who went alone to the playground. Let's see what happened to him when he had no partner to play with. He went to the playground alone, and he wanted to play. He tried to teeter-totter, but he couldn't do it without a partner. He tried four square, and he couldn't do it without a partner. There's some partners. He tried tetherball, and he couldn't do it without a partner either. Just as he was ready to go home, one of his friends arrived. Now that he had a partner, he found that he could play on the teeter-totter and all the other playground toys. When he had a partner, he could do many things. Okay. Our lesson this morning tells us that we have a partner who helps us live our lives right. That partner is God. He helps us do things in life that make the right choices. If we follow him and let him lead us, we know he will guide us in the right direction and help us live a better life, life abundant. The next time you go roller skating, or this, remember that you need two skates. One skate is a partner to the other. The next time you play on the teeter-totter, remember that you can't do it without a partner. Remember also that God is your partner. Let's bow our head in prayer. God, we just want to thank you and help us. We want you to help us remember that you are our partner. And in your holy name, amen. You can go now. Hello, my name is Kim.
Hi.
First and foremost, I want to thank God. I also want to thank Pastor Sunny and you as a congregation for letting me speak today. All right. And I want to talk to you about having God in your life and the obstacles which can keep you from him. And first I'll talk about the wise and foolish builder. In Luke 6:46-49, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." This is two examples in which people build their own kingdom. One with God as the foundation, and one lacking a foundation altogether. Personally, I try to do a lot of things on my own, and not include God because I think I can handle all the stress which is laid upon me, like tests and peer pressure, and all the things that are a marker in a young person's life. But I cannot because I am only human, and I need help. So I come to God in my time of need. You'll find that not only teens, but adults as well, will find themselves trying to manhandle all of their problems, and they then see how desperately they need God. And I see this within my family, like my mom. She believes in God and used to go to church. Now she still holds on to her faith, but doesn't have fellowship with the church, or any Christians for that matter. And I pray for her, but I want her to realize that she needs God in her life, because the amount of things which she does on her own will wear her down without a solid foundation within the church. And next, I'll talk of the rich and the kingdom of God. And in Mark 10:17 through 27, it says, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered. 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' 'Teacher,' he declared, 'all these I have kept since I was a boy.' Jesus looked at him and loved him. 'One thing you lack,' he said. 'Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?' The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, 'Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.' The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.' The story tells of a man who did all the good deeds and followed the rules, but didn't have a relationship with God. This forms a barrier, and that is his love of money, which ironically kept him from obeying the first commandment, which is to let nothing be more important than God. I can relate to this because I also admire superficial things a lot more than I should, and that keeps me from reaching the relationship I want with God. I fear what people think more than God's opinion, God's opinion is, and that cripples me. A lot of other teens will also find things that become their idols in their lives: phones, computers, celebrities, and plenty of other things that aren't nearly as important as God and forming a relationship with him. They then will find themselves venting to Facebook and wondering why things aren't going their way. Instead, if they went to God and prayed to him and held him higher than they hold their smartphones when looking for service, then he will hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and help them find their way. At a recent camp experience, we saw this video by Jimmy Needham, which spoke to us on the subject.
Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends, until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store, and know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. I beg him please to open up his mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to own. Oh, worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to. Yes, I can sing all I want to. That's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
All right. And my third and final point has to do with doubt. And then I'll read from Matthew 11, 2 through 6. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the deaf are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." While John was imprisoned, his discouragement led him to wonder whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus did not condemn him, because it's natural to think that way. Instead, he responded by explaining to John that he was accomplishing the things which the Messiah was supposed to accomplish. It's easy to feel like God isn't there, or to doubt his existence. It happens to me a lot, but every time I start to think that way, he proves he is alive and working in me and others around me. For example, the youth group at my home church is very minimal, but a few weeks ago, we had about 20 youth and advisors go to Camp Orchard Hill. That alone was outstanding. Only 2 weeks before had we planned to make the trip to Dallas, Pennsylvania. And it turns out they were practically packed, but a group that had reserved 30 spots didn't need 20 of them, the exact amount of our group. That was preordained by God in order for us to receive a very special message. Seven of us had been adopted or were in foster care. Justin Lickadoo spoke, and his testimony entirely revolved around his adoption and his children, of his children, and him taking in young children through foster care. The majority of our youth heard him loud and clear, due to them being in that very situation. Back at Livingstone Fellowship, where we typically worship on Sundays, they told their testimonies of the weekend. Each and every one of us had been touched, and usually the youth will sit back, slumped in the back, nodding off, or wishing they were somewhere else. But that Sunday, we had all of the youth up and waving flags for the first time, worshiping truly and happy to do so. The world is constantly telling you that you can put secular things before God and that you don't need a foundation to build a house and that it's okay to doubt him as long as you come to church on Sundays. But once you put his words into practice, your house will stand firm. Your belief in him will be strong because he will show himself to you. And once you crush the idols, you can say that you hold him higher than you hold your iPhone. And here's the benediction, and it comes from Galatians 4, 4 through 6. When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us out to call, Abba, Father.